Kingdom life comes into play when we begin to value the thing that the kingdom holds most dear.
We have to learn how to cooperate with the Spirit of the Lord, and that's the thing that changes history.
We are stewards of this moment in time. We're talking about the potential for cities to be turned.
How are you to bring the kingdom of God into your region, into your family?
When we begin to let ourselves bend to the values of the kingdom of heaven, then things around us begin to bend in response.
You're listening to Lead the Kingdom Radio.
Welcome to Lead the Kingdom, Calibrating Leaders to Reign. Seated here with my great friend, confidant, colleague, Mitch Clay. How's it going, Mitch?
Awesome, awesome, awesome.
As always, God comes with revival right before we tape. Had a little session of revival here amongst ourselves.
I'm sure that another wave will come back around.
The second wave?
Yeah.
Maybe the third wave?
Yeah.
But today we've been talking about... we've been really talking about heart level things, and these are the things that Jesus spoke about when he came to the earth. He came, and the disconnect was that the religious leaders of the day did not have the heart of God. They were following their traditions, and they were following these laws, and of course, God put all those things in place, but it was to point to Jesus, and they were so off kilter that they didn't even recognize him when he came, and the same can be true of us. That we get so embedded and entrenched in our own preferences, our own traditions, our own, you know, viewpoints or lenses that we look through, that we can be near Jesus but never touch him. And it's imperative that Jesus be at the center of everything we're doing. And that's even really cliche. That makes a great bumper sticker, a great refrigerator magnet, but it's true. And we've just been sharing stories about how our hearts have been circumcised. Our hearts have somehow, by the mercy of God, come in contact with this, the eternal one, this being that we call God, who came, who has this eternal plan in mind. And we tend to, as North American Christians, or wherever you're listening from, you've been affected by North American Christians probably, to split this story up. But God, from the beginning, has always been pointing to Jesus. This has always been all about Jesus, so much so that when Jesus came, he came as one of us. And I know you like to talk about the fact that he came as a son, right?
That
is the picture, right?
That is...
What is the gist of the importance of him coming as a son? And we don't want to... separate him into a special category of son, although he was the son, but he came as a son for a reason, right?
He totally did. And again, the reason he came as a son was to continue the eternal purpose of God. And it's so important to understand the big picture, that there is an eternal purpose.
That he has a purpose.
That God has a purpose, that he's intentional, that he's had the same purpose from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And Adam's sin did not dissuade him, to turn him away from that, or, we got to come up with plan B. No,
right.
It was one plan and only one plan. Mm-hmm. And that plan in the big picture was that God would have eternal sons who he would fellowship with, yes, but better, even greater than that, that he would rule and reign and bring his influence, the influence of his kingdom, his government, into wherever that he desired for it to go. And it was him and his sons would do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the entire purpose of God and the history that we know of God in the Bible is wrapped up in this one thing, that Jesus came as a son, that he might be the firstborn of many. In fact, there's so many different ways to put that. Paul also teaches that he was the firstborn of a new race of people.
That's right.
And he was literally the first of a brand new race of people. He was
That's
a
right.
God-man.
That's right.
And with God's spirit on the inside, in fact, it's the picture of the two becoming one. We speak of Jesus's prayer to the disciples, pray your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. And Jesus was the walking picture of on earth as in heaven. He was the seed of heaven that came to the womb of earth, became a brand new thing that had never existed, and then made a way for us to follow in his footsteps in that brand new creation. Mm-hmm. We are brand new creations.
Hallelujah.
Or a brand new race of people. And I think a lot of times it's so easy to get stuck in our traditions and in what we know or what granddaddy believed about God in the Bible, that we completely, completely miss the power of what Jesus did to bring a new race of heavenly people on the earth. Paul in the Passion Translation says that we are a colony of heaven on earth.
Ooh.
And what is the purpose of this? The purpose of this is not to be born again and just wait it out till he comes and sweeps us away. No, Jesus is on a round trip ticket, so he's actually coming back.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
amen.
He's on furlough right now. He's waiting until the Father says now, because at that moment when he comes back, we ourselves will have gone through a metamorphosis, and when the time is right, the planet, the heaven, all of the cosmos is going to go through a transformation, including us. Paul talks about this transformation as our great hope. So it's important that we know this. Otherwise, we're going to get born again and then sit in our pew and then eat roast after church and go die somewhere and then be like, okay, it's time to go be with Jesus.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
This is not the point. The point is, and it's especially poignant now in the time that we're living in, because the earth is groaning, man. The earth is groaning big time. And we've been talking around this Romans chapter 8. Let's talk about the groan and who's groaning and why it's groaning, because I think this really plays into the narrative of God's purpose and what he's doing and where he wants to go.
Mm-hmm. The groan is important. And again, the groan won't come unless you know the eternal purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And this great hope.
Yeah.
That you mentioned briefly there. It's in Romans chapter 8. And I'm sure you'll find the verse for me there. But the purpose of the groan is that we haven't yet come into the fullness of our salvation. And many people don't understand this, but our salvation is literally a three-part salvation.
Mm.
We have salvation when we're born again. We receive life and we are joined to Christ in our spirits. So our spirit man becomes new and yep. we become joined with Christ, and that is so.
Yes.
And Ephesians chapter 1 tells us we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. So that part of our salvation is complete,
mm-hmm.
okay? But there's two more parts that need a saving.
A saving? Man, we just went down south.
And so we have a soul as well, and our soul needs to be saved. And I think as Peter says, that the end of our faith is the salvation of our soul. And so there is the work of the Holy Spirit and the work of the renewing of the mind and the work of us being saved in our mind, our emotions, our intellect, our personality, and that part of us.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also another part, which is the saving of our bodies. We will receive an eternal body.
Mm-hmm.
Our bodies will be saved,
mm-hmm.
and we will be given a body just like the immortal body of Jesus when he was raised from the dead, and
yeah.
he could walk through walls and you know, all the things he did, disappear and come back again, and
mm-hmm.
da da da. All that heavenly body,
yeah.
that is a part of our great hope.
Yes.
So when we are stuck in a carnal body, imagine this: a born again child of God, the spirit man, who you really are, the spirit man, the eternal one, stuck inside of this carnal body with all its limitations, with all its weakness, with all its frailties, and you understand those limitations, you will groan.
That's a good way to put it.
You will groan.
Well, let me just read the verse since we talked about it. It's Romans 8:22. And I'm reading from the Passion Translation. To this day, we are aware of the universal agony and groaning of creation as if it were in the contractions of labor for childbirth. And it's not just creation. We who have already experienced the first fruits of the Spirit also inwardly groan as we passionately long to experience our full status as God's sons and daughters, including our physical bodies being transformed for this hope, for this is the hope of our salvation. So you could literally be in the game. You could literally be suited up and not be in the game, because if you're not aware that God's purpose is to create, is to recreate his son in you so that you manifest the exact same fruit in life that he did when he's on the earth. I mean, maybe whatever your picture is of you, maybe you're a worm, you know, just a sinner saved by grace, you know, all these old traditional things that we often hear about when we talk about ourselves. There's a false humility that gets involved in a lot of teaching and preaching from the old days. But the truth is that God did what he did with Jesus so that we could become just like him. You know, he is the image, and we are image bearers of God, not just, you know, not just in like maybe some of the traditional ways we've talked about it, but the fact that we are the dawning light of the light of Christ in the earth. Like, God is putting Jesus on display through us, literally. And the scary part of that is that we can choose to participate in it or not. Mm. And I think that's key with the groaning part, because if creation was subjected against its will to the futility of sin, like I think that's King James in Romans 8, so much so that it recognizes that we have the answer, that we are the answer, that we are the liberators, and that it begins to groan for it, call for it in such a pronounced way, yet we not hear it, I think, or we not see it, or we not recognize it, I think we're almost in the camp again of the religious leaders of the day when they didn't recognize Jesus. We don't recognize his purpose. We don't see what he's doing. Why is that? You know, because, well, there could be 100 reasons maybe, but the point is that when we recognize and join in our spirits in this groaning, and he puts it so eloquently, as a woman in labor, to bring forth something.
Yeah.
We're in the process of bringing forth something, right?
Yeah. And it's the restoration of all things.
Yeah.
That's what this is all about, the restoration of all things. And there's a verse here that's often overlooked, because it talks about the earth groaning and waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, King James Version there. But in verse 21, it says, because the creature or the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. You read that earlier. But see, that's why the earth is groaning. The earth is groaning because it for many reasons. But one of the reasons is that it's been corrupted.
Mm-hmm.
See, the sin of Adam brought condemnation not only to himself, the sentence of death to himself and his children, but the sin of Adam literally allowed the condemnation from the kingdom of darkness into the earth. Yeah. The earth suffered the same consequence. That's the wage of sin is death. So death came to the earth. The earth cannot fulfill its desired and designed purpose by the Father until it too enters into the glorious liberty of the sons of God.
Hmm.
Now, here's the thing. You spoke about religious thinking about, oh, I'm just a worm. I'm just a sinner. I'm just, you know, I'm not much, you know, and I'm just waiting to go to heaven and all that kind of strange thinking, actually, strange according to the scripture, because here's what the scripture says. The scripture says that we as a children of God, we have entered into glorious liberty.
Yes, we have.
We have a glorious liberty that is ours right now, so much so that the earth sees what we have and it longs for the day that it too enters into it, but it also has a groan because it's groaning and waiting for the sons of God, the mature ones to take their place and bring the life and the delivering power of the Father that was purchased by the resurrection of Jesus Christ himself to the earth.
Come on. Yes.
To the earth. Our friend, we have a mutual friend named Anthony, and Anthony...
Oop, Anthony made the podcast.
Someday he'll sit at this table at the golden microphone with the big boys over here. But now, Anthony had this tremendous revelation, and I've been sharing this a lot of places because it's just absolutely amazing. He had a revelation about the word rebuke. You know, you and I talked about Peter rebuking Jesus. Mm-hmm. And then another time, Jesus rebuked a storm. And so one time, there was a storm that came through where Anthony lives. Location undisclosed at this moment. But anyway, this storm came through, and he'd been getting revelation about authority and that he's a man of authority in that region, and he should take his place, you know. So this storm comes through, so he runs out in his front yard in his undershorts in the middle of the night and says to the storm, "You cannot come here." You know, basically he rebuked the storm, mm-hmm. you know. And so things happened and so forth. But then he got to study in the scripture and he found the word rebuke and he looked at it in the Greek language. And one of the first definitions is glory.
Really?
And he's like, "Lord, wait a minute, this is weird." Like glory and honor. And the Lord began to speak to him, and this is what he said. When Jesus was in the boat asleep, and the storm was going to come and capsize the boat, and the disciples were afraid of dying, said, "Lord, you know, what are you going to do here? We're about to die." And Jesus stood up and rebuked the storm. In the context of that word, honor, glory, the Lord spoke to Anthony's heart and said this. When Jesus rebuked the storm, he said, "Come on, storm. You're better than this."
Oh, wow.
"You were made to cooperate with the purposes of God. Ooh. You are not made to destroy things. You need to be to take your place of glory and take your place of honor and find your place, your destiny that the Father has created you for, and do that and not do this."
That is the Holy Spirit right there.
Is that an amazing revelation?
Wonderful.
So that was a revelation and a demonstration of Jesus Christ, the Son, operating as a huios, a mature son in the earth, rebuking this creation. Not rebuking it, saying,
Shame
on you. Yeah. Saying, "You're better than this."
Mm-hmm.
You were created from the beginning to serve the kingdom of God and to serve the purposes of God. And as a son taking its place, his place in the earth, Jesus rebuked that storm and brought the will of the Father into that moment.
That's
and brought
powerful.
Peace.
So powerful. I
Amazing.
Love it.
Amazing. And that and that not just for Jesus. He said, "You would do my works and greater works." Because you too are going to be given the spirit of adoption, amen, the Holy Spirit,
right.
And you too will become the sons of God, mm-hmm. and you will function and work and walk in the earth in this way.
Well, when you begin to think like this and you begin to have, when the Spirit of God gets into your thinking and starts to renew your mind, the Bible starts to run this parallel course that you start to recognize as God's purpose, his eternal purpose, the plan from the beginning.
Yeah, yeah.
And you start to put the pieces together. It's no longer disjointed. The story starts to weave and flow and say the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking now out of Ephesians about the fivefold leadership gifts, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, what their purpose is. And their purpose is to make these sons that you're talking about, these mature sons who are calling all creation into their destiny, you know, into who they were always made to be. You know, this is the discipling of nations, calling them into who they're always meant to be.
Amen.
And this is the ministry of Jesus. Jesus, what is that when he got up? And he got up, it was his first sermon out of Isaiah. He said, you quote it because you're going to quote it better, but he said, "This scripture today is fulfilled in your ears."
He talks about, I'm not going to quote it exactly, but he talks about set the captives free, the blind eyes.
This is the year of the favor of the Lord.
This is the year of the favor of the Lord. And he came to set the captives free.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, that's bad, isn't it? What is that?
It's in Isaiah, I think.
Anyway, it's Isaiah. Yeah. It's in Luke 4, I believe.
Right. So he is literally doing the same thing there. He's like saying the day of liberation is at hand.
Amen.
And then he went out, and when he actually went out from place to place, he would say the same thing. The kingdom is at hand. The day of liberation is at hand. The options have now been opened for liberation and for destiny and for all the things that God ever intended you to be are now available and ready. All you have to do is step into
it. Wow. Look at the dimension of purpose and the dimension of destiny for a child of God in these things that we're talking about.
It's mind-blowing.
And compare it to a typical Sunday morning
doesn't make
member
sense.
Sitting on a pew waiting for the boring sermon to be over.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when we understand the destiny that the Father has for us in this caliber of responsibility, assignments, and expectation of the Father on us, and we compare it to the level that we're walking in right now,
yeah,
it's astonishing and discouraging.
Yeah.
In some ways.
We got some ways to go here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let's end on a little practical note and try to find a runway here to be done with this episode.
You want
to
land the plane?
Well, we're going to try. I don't know. I may take off again. Who knows here? It's so profound.
Touch and go.
You just want to shout this from the mountain, and you want the whole world to get it.
Amen, brother. And this is it.
Yeah.
This is it.
So this is Romans 2:28, and it's talking about circumcision. It says, Paul says, you are not a Jew if it's only superficial. And that's true for us. We're not following in the footsteps of Jesus if it's just a superficial thing. For it's more than the surgical cut of a knife that makes you Jewish. Or it's more, we could say it's more than our Sunday morning tradition or whatever that makes us a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
But you are Jewish because of the inward act of spiritual circumcision, a radical change that lays bare your heart. It's not by the principle of law, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. For then your praise will not come from people, but from God himself. And so we're switching from a law-based system that put demands on us that we could never fulfill into a life-based system where the demands of the law are fulfilled already through his life in us. And so this life is acquired by, and this is the part I want to get to, because it's so easy to overlook this, and I think most have. I know for many, many, many years, I did not touch this. The part that I'm talking about is the radical change that lays bare your heart. And that is, how many words can we put here to describe this? This is repentance. This is humbling ourselves before the Lord. This is, you know, this is seeking the Lord with all of our heart. This is the meat of the issue, is the condition of our heart. And that is what Jesus addressed to everyone, everywhere he went, especially the religious leaders. He's like, you like to paint the outside, but inside the tomb are just dead men's bones. And this act of spiritual circumcision that lays bare our hearts is the thing that frees us from ourselves. Because Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you've got to deny yourself. And even that is a mystery to most people, I think. What does that mean to most people? 100 different things. But there is a suffering, a self-denial. There is a putting away, and there is a death that we can partake in through Jesus that allows everything of us to lay down or to fall away, and that allows everything that's of him to begin to stand. And this, to me, it's not a secret, but this is the part that we see missing so many times.
Yeah, this is very important because it begins with a choice. See, many people are ignorant. They've never heard, they've never been challenged that way.
Mm.
Maybe most is too strong, but many times the message is come to Jesus for help. Come to Jesus. He'll heal your broken heart. He'll heal your broken marriage. He'll heal your finances, all those different things. So you invite Jesus in for what he can do for you.
Yep.
But the gospel that Jesus preached was deny yourself, come and follow me. Leave your self-interest, leave those things mm-hmm. that you're paying attention to for your own sake and follow me. Mm-hmm. And that's a completely different message than come to me and have these things. Now, will your broken heart be healed if you follow Jesus? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But it's not the reason we follow Jesus and we deny ourselves. And it begins with a choice. It's a choice to follow the Lord. And I believe that there's many people who are ignorant. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but ignorant in the fact that they don't know. Mm-hmm. They don't know. They literally have not been challenged with this whole idea of drop your nets and follow me.
Exactly.
And so there are people who are ignorant. And then there are people who are literally rebellious. They mm-hmm. just said, I've heard that challenge. And, you know, I'm not sure, like the rich young ruler, I'm not sure I really want to go all in like that. Mm-hmm. Like give away all that I have to the poor and then follow you. I'm not sure that I'm all in for that. You know, I might do a little church service thing and then put a little money in the bucket or something, but I'm not sure that I'm going all in like that. And so that's a different condition of a heart right yeah. there. So, but I believe that many people, it begins with a choice that once you're confronted with the idea that to truly follow Jesus, to make him the Lord of your life, you have to make that choice. It doesn't mean you'll be perfect in the beginning, obviously. It doesn't mean all of you will fall off in a heap in one moment, but you'll find as you walk towards him and with him that you can look back and you see where that fell off and that fell off and the Lord challenged that and the Lord
yeah.
ministered to that part of your life. And you'll become mature, 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 mature to the point that you are yielded to the Lord.
Yeah, Paul makes this comment. He says that where we go, we are preaching the Lordship of Christ. Mm. And when we come to him, sometimes people paint a picture of Jesus that's just partial or it's an error or, they made up a Jesus and they preach that. And people come to that Jesus and they bear some weird fruit out of it. Mm-hmm. And they never end up following Jesus. The heart thing that happens is seen in the following. And I like it how it says in 1 John 2:6, it says, we can be sure that we've truly come to live in intimacy with God, not just by saying, quote unquote, I am intimate with God, but by walking in the footsteps of Jesus.
Wow.
And this is the thing that will change the world when we begin to have sons that walk in the footsteps of Jesus. This is part of the mystery now revealed, hidden for ages, Christ in us. This is only found through people who are going to turn and walk away from their life.
This is
only found by people who are going to reject and disown who they were and completely do a 180 and walk away and just start following in the footsteps of Jesus. Paul even goes a step further to paint the picture as a soldier. Disentangle yourself from civilian affairs. You are enlisted. You are not your own. Mm-hmm. You were bought. You know, all this language that we don't identify with mostly as Christians in the Western world, we've created our own gospel. We've created our own Jesus. We haven't created a fake spirit, but there is a false spirit involved in all this.
Yeah.
But if we begin to do these things and if we can find his footsteps, if we can find the sandals and start walking in those, what's going to happen? All the things that Jesus did, the fruit of his life, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, cleanse lepers, all that's going to start happening. But in the footsteps is going to be liberation. Creation is going to start to become liberated. Things that we change the options for everyone where our footsteps go to come into their destiny, the liberation from the futility of the curse of sin, the liberation of the chains and the weight of the stuff that happened way back with Adam and Eve in the garden when they changed gods, now has the opportunity to be liberated by the sons until the fullness of all this takes place and Jesus comes and literally we're at the end of the age at that point, and all the heaven is are made new and the earth is made new, and we too who are alive and remain, Paul says, shall be changed.
Amen. Amen. And that comes, those choices bring intimacy. You know, when we study Jesus' words, Jesus said it this way: I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve. Mm-hmm. I only do what I see my Father doing. I only say what I hear my Father saying. In other words, I've just come to do what he says to do. See, he said, I'm not my own. I mean, that's basically what he's saying. I've come to do the Father's will. Mm-hmm. And that causes you to be one with the Father. And what happens when you're one with the Father? You have intimacy with the Father. Mm-hmm. And when you have intimacy with the Father, the life of the Father is manifested. And when there's life of the Father manifested, you have salvation.
Yeah.
And salvation includes, the Greek word salvation means complete deliverance, mm-hmm. spirit, soul, and body. So you have demons cast out, you have healings, you have liberation, you have all sorts of things, everything you just described, but it comes from intimacy.
That's right. And intimacy is the thing that we can talk about, we can teach to our best ability, but that is only found by you and your heart pursuing Jesus, pursuing the Father. Jeremiah 29 says that if you seek me and search for me with all of your heart, you will find me. And so we just need to discover, and everyone that's hearing the sound of our voice, you need to discover what that looks like for you, to begin to seek him with all of your heart. And the promise is, wonderful, that you will find me. I wonder what that looks like for so many people who are just going through the motions, wishing and knowing, their spirits know there's a greater reality available, and it's when we find him.
Amen. That's so good.
Why don't you just pray for everybody, and let's pray for this heart thing to happen in people's lives.
Mm. Father, we know that only your spirit can draw us, that men are only properly moved by your spirit. So we pray, Father, for everyone that would listen to this, that they would begin to be drawn by your spirit. We release you, Holy Spirit, to begin to touch the hearts of men and women, to draw them. Lord, open their eyes of our understanding. Cause us to see our current condition, not to condemn us, but to show us where we are and to show us what needs to change. Father, we don't want to be ignorant. We don't want to be blinded. We don't want to be hard-hearted. We don't want to be in the dark. But Lord, we want to see the light. We want you to speak to us. We want you to correct us. We want you to bring us that which we have need of so that we can make the adjustments, so we can make the changes, so we can make the choices that we need to make to be more fully conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus. Holy Spirit, help us. Only by your Spirit, only by your help, only by your power can these things happen. Bless the listeners and help them on their journey to become conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, amen. So be it. So be it. We want to thank everyone for listening today. And if you're just now hearing about us, you can go check out leadthekingdom.com. There is a bunch of podcasts on there from the past year and a half or so of Mitch and I sitting down and telling stories and pouring out our hearts, calling forth the sons of destiny, the sons of God. It's time for the sons of God to come online. As everyone's aware, the world is burning. Cities are being turned upside down. But here's the problem. Cities are being turned upside down because we haven't done it ourselves. The sons of God were born to change the world. You were born to step into this destiny of changing the world, of discipling nations, hastening the day of the Lord, seeing the power of God liberate all creation.
Yes.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. LeadTheKingdom.com. We'll see you next time. Hey friends, thanks for listening. Plug into our network at leadthekingdom.com. Over there, you'll find resources to equip and empower your leadership potential. Also, get registered to receive emails on upcoming events, online leadership sessions, and more. You are valuable, and you were born to change the world.